To Dream Path. You're listening to the sounds, the atmosphere, the place that we are, and the energy that we bring to the internet, to the radio, to the airwaves. And so, listeners, welcome. Welcome to the show. We have a very interesting guest this evening, and her name is Jana Walker. She works with the Children's Hospice, that's how I met her, and not expecting to really. Very interestingly enough, I heard her story and became very interested on that day, and called, and this is the result, because you're going to be hearing exactly that call, and what a wonderful individual, and expressing so beautifully what she does and what she believes. Very inspiring, we find it so, and that's coming up very, very shortly. In the meantime, you can listen to the stream, the music of the heart. And so here we are, and we would like to say before we go, we give great thanks and appreciation to all of you, and especially to our sponsor, Creo Monday, creomonday.com, and you can always go to their site. We had a wonderful time talking with Allison Prentice and some of the other ladies that have brought forth a most amazing product, a product that you can hear more about because you can wear it. And all you have to go is to that site and find out more, or just click on Creo Monday right on DreamPath. It'll all be there. So thank you. And now, away we go.
One that I came upon.
And where did it derive from?
A meditation.
Wonderful. How long has it been on you? The work that's being done there is just, it's phenomenal. I just have such respect. Our clinical people are, they're just doing angel work, whether they know it or they don't know it, you know, they are.
Yeah, that's the feeling definitely that I got.
Yeah, and I know that, and it's interesting because it doesn't matter whether you, quote, know your mandate and you're aware of your agreements and contracts, etc. Even if you're not cognizant of it on a you know, the physical, you know, level, you're still doing it anyway.
You see, I knew you. I mean, it is amazing because you've just described exactly, you know, what happens. I just walked into the room. I had a look. You turned and looked at me. You shook my hand.
Yes.
And the look in your eyes, I just went, "There's this lady's got stars in her eyes. She's got magic going on.
You see, that's the thing. It's recognition.
Yeah.
And we all start recognizing each other, and you can tell when the light's on.
Mm-hmm.
I have people that will come up to me. We have quite an extensive staff, you know, as far as nurses, you know, and of course, it's round-the-clock care of our children, you know, 24 hours a day. So we have nursing staff that's constantly coming and going and coming and going. And I've been there a year, and I've just met a couple of people after a year. Because I can't possibly be meeting everybody. They're on the second floor, and I'm downstairs or I'm out, you know, doing what I do. But I'll be standing making a cup of tea, and I'll turn around and I'll look at somebody, and I just smile. Because, I mean, I can see them. I can see their light. And I just go, "Hey, how are you?" At me, and they go, "Oh, hi. We're so glad you're here." You know, this is something that I heard from people.
Yeah.
And I was like, "What? Oh my goodness. This is so cool." It's when we recognize each other. And then we go off and we'll talk our own, you know, peculiar little lingo. And
Yeah, it's interesting that you say recognizing, because our last show we did quite a bit of humor, off the wall humor.
Oh, goody!
Just absolute silliness, and one of the words that came up was recognizing.
Oh, I was playing my altered character, Ludmila, and she had a great recognition of being at certain places at certain times.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So,
yeah, and when we tap into that, it gets pretty funky, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Yeah.
Listen, Jonna, if I could just get you to sort of recap and bring everyone up to date, because we don't seem to flow, but I think we're flowing because we're flowing.
We're communicating, and you know, that's a word that a lot of people will throw around, but communication occurs on many levels. And when you're communicating on more than one level, you go into different depths. And I think that's a big missing for people, is the depth of communication. It's not a superficial way of speaking. When you're speaking from your heart and from your spirit perspective, the communication is always much deeper, and you get at it faster. You know, there's not all that superficial gunk in the way. It's kind of like, boom, we're already there. We're already communicating.
There's no tracks to cover.
Oh, no, not at all. You're already starting on the same page, and you can just sort of skip over all the superfluous nonsense and get right to the meat, so to speak. And for those vegans, pardon me.
Although we are turning a little bit more vegetarian these days, going towards more alkaline-based
food. Yes, we have to. Most people are so acidic in more ways than one, and especially with all the EMF stuff happening out there, electromagnetic frequency stuff, we're being bombarded. We're living in electrical soup. So I often wonder if that isn't why there are so many children, you know, that are coming down with neuromuscular things that are happening. That gets very political, so I have to stay away from that.
Well, actually, not on this radio station at all, believe me.
You can. What's happening right now is the kind of thing that is being broadcasted. You may not always agree with the people that, you know, you're listening to, but at least they're telling it like it is as they see it.
Yes.
And that's very refreshing.
It is. Well, it's food for thought, and those that are listening worldwide, I think it's something for everyone to start recognizing that the electrical soup caused from the microwave towers, the cell phone towers, we have to look at what is it actually doing to us. It's not what it's doing for us, it's what it's doing to us and the generations behind. And we're seeing an increase of particular types of degenerative diseases. And we need to really, really start saying, do we really need all this stuff? And it was a very important movie that was being made for everyone to be more aware of what's happening in pediatric palliative care. It's not something that most people think about. They think of palliative care as being elderly people making an exit. And
That's right.
One of the gals in the movie said it best when she said it just to wrap your brain around, these are children that are dying. It's out of sync. It isn't the right way around. When you get to be a certain age or stage in life, your clock is winding down. But these little guys, you know, they've got a fully loaded spring, and they should be popping and ready to go, right?
And, absolutely,
not so.
Yeah, now, you're of course, seeing a lot of this. Our society is slightly aware of it. It varies to different degrees and depths at the same time. And your attitude to what's going on, it is just the joy and effervescence of energy that is you.
As me.
And you're in the midst of this. Your experience of this, it must be incredible.
It is. Let me see if I can describe a normal day. First of all, I'm not a clinical. I'm not part of the medical team that takes care of the children. I think it's important for people to know that. My job is to interact with donors and make sure that we have the funding in order to provide, the food that they need, the medical equipment, and everything that we provide for the family. And that's very important. We take the entire family. We hold them in our arms, and we embrace them fully. They do not have to bring a thing other than their personal clothing. We take care of them all, mom, dad, you know, brothers, sisters, even grandpa and grandma and aunts and uncles have been known to come and stay with us. And yes, the joy is something that people notice, they remark on when they come through. They're not expecting that. It really sort of shocks people because they're expecting a very dour, you know, heavy energy, and we're saying, no, we're living life right through to that very last moment. We have a fully accredited school.
Yes.
Which is phenomenal. a wonderful school teacher. And what she will do is she will get in touch with the school teachers that the kids are going to, whether it's the child that is in our care or a brother or a sister, and they will arrive. The child that needs the care and attention gets that, but they also get their homework. And the reason that this is so vital is the most important reason of all. Children want to feel normal.
Yeah.
And that's a great gift for all of us. We can learn so much. We just have to observe what is going on. They're so wise. They're actually giving us the gift.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
I really did notice that, especially with one of the girls. She was about 11 years old. And she talked about, you know, her decision of whether to go to heaven or stay here because she felt that her mother and her sister would miss her.
Wasn't that profound? Yeah. They're wise. They're great gifts. They're great gifts to the family, and they're gifts to us because we get to observe. And often we are given the most phenomenal stories. You know, I shared a couple today, and they're so powerful because you can't make things like this up. One young chap that was making his exit left a profound statement, and he was a little concerned about leaving his mom and his sister, as the case. They often get tied up in the feelings of guilt because they are leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You can feel it, and you can see it in them.
Yeah, yeah. That was quite an insight to see that. Yeah.
Yeah. So here you have a child that is dying, and they're feeling guilty because they're leaving the family, and they can see the grief and the. So you have to step slightly aside from that, and with those other eyes, see the spiritual agreement that is being played out. There's a contract here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's
get that, don't
up.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah. So recognize the contract, and it's almost like a reversal. The child is teaching the parent.
You can see that the wisdom comes right out at you.
Yeah.
They look like a child, but their manner and what's in their eyes says a lot more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for people that, you know, didn't have the benefit of watching this National Film Board, you can still get the impact of what it is. As an example, this young chap that was making his exit, his comment was, I don't want to leave you because it's going to be so very, very long before I see you again.
Mm.
And then the sister sat with him. And she said, maybe it isn't like that. Now, you have to realize, you have the kids talking.
Yeah, yeah.
Mom was there, but so was our spiritual counselor. And this was given to us as a great gift, as we all gathered and honored this young chap after he had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the story that was, there were so many stories about him. He had been end of life for quite some time, but it was that, the discussion ensued saying, well, maybe it will only seem like a long time for us here, but for you, it won't be.
Yeah.
Wow. Chew on that one for a minute, okay?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh. They said, well, sure, because heaven's different, and it would be one of those, you know, so it's just going to be like a blink of an eye for you, but for us, it will be a long time. So he could go. He could let go, thinking, I'll just close my eyes and I'll get to see you kind of like tomorrow.
Yeah.
Isn't that, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's just so special.
The gift of freedom.
Yes. Yes. I think the freedoms are, they're wrapped in many different packages, you know. But the place is full of love and joy, and we always have that feeling of hope. Children will ask for homework even when they're extremely ill, and they will be working on a project just to finish it, and they may pass away the very next day.
Really?
Yes. Children just want to feel normal.
Yeah. No, that's interesting because certainly when my daughter, who was diagnosed with, what was the name of it now? Child rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, yes.
She completely lost, she couldn't walk. There was a lot of alternative healing that went on, but of course the doctors were involved.
Yes.
One of the things that she did, though, she really was extremely organized, got amazing grades. It didn't affect it. She kept on going with it. And eventually, I would say, with some assistance, but she worked herself, walked herself out of it. And, you know, she's doing marvelously. I mean, in every single way that you can think of.
That's fantastic.
And, yeah, and that's so true. I mean, what you're saying, that feeling normal. I mean, I can think of the series Heroes and the young girl who has superpowers and wants to feel normal.
And that's, and like, where's the benchmark for that one? What's normal? But it's whatever's normal for you.
Yeah.
I think that's important as well.
Yeah,
well,
and
congratulations that your
yeah.
daughter, you know, is doing so well. That's fantastic.
You know, that's what I feel, you know, I sense that is happening. Is that sense of home, that sense of normality?
Yeah.
And it's a little bit different for each person, so it's not like you just do one thing. It really is, in many ways, individualized. There's a general environment of that, but at the same time, there's within that
mm-hmm.
other degrees of a, yeah, the, each family,
yes.
each child to have that sense, and it's, each one is going to have a different one.
Oh, yes. We respect the distinctions and the differences. We provide service for end of life or respite.
Mm-hmm.
And pain and symptom management. Respite's extremely important to understand. This is something that is absolutely vital. If anybody can imagine having a child with a life-threatening illness, this is a tragically shortened life is another phrase that we've often used, and I think that's an incredible phrase, a tragically shortened life.
Mm-hmm.
It is a tragedy. But what we see is the capacity of living to the fullest in whatever that presents itself, in whatever shape it is. But families that have to, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week,
mm-hmm.
these children need special care.
Yes.
It gets very wearing.
Yeah.
It gets really tough on the mom and the dad, and you know, if there are other brothers or sisters in the family, they need a break. So when they get on our program, they can apply to come to us for a couple of days, like usually 2 days, every 4 to 6 weeks. And what that does is that allows them to all recharge their batteries, the child as well. They look forward to coming to us. We're that home away from home. And it's parents a really well-needed break, a rest. And so we're there for that. We just, once again, it's that big hug. They walk in the door, and they can kind of go, ah, you know.
Yeah, and they know that, too. Yeah, I'm just going to slightly interrupt here
sure. And
let everybody know that you're listening to Dream Path on BBS Radio. And our wonderful guest today is Jana Walker.
And we're very blessed that we have the staff we have, especially our medical team, our clinical, and a lot of them have been with us since we opened our doors 12 years ago. We are the criterion in North America for children's palliative care, pediatric palliative care. We are the first one in North America. We're the benchmark, and I think that we should all be very proud of that because it started in Canada before the United States has even had a children's palliative care. So that's pretty spectacular.
Yes, and congratulations. And did you have a question, Jared?
Well, no, I'm absolutely stunned.
Right.
That no one else is doing this.
We did. Follow Helen House in the UK, and it was Brenda Eng, bless her heart, what an incredible woman who had this vision. And you know, this is something for everybody that is listening. You have a vision, you stick to it, because this is a person who saw the possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I am a possibilitarian.
I like these new words. Yeah.
And I've often called myself that, but I really believe in the word possibility. And she saw it, and she went for it, and garnered assistance, finance, and brokered the whole deal to get this incredible place. And then, of course, and here we are 12 years later, fully accredited hospice, which means we are a hospital. And that really takes some doing.
That is amazing, too. I mean, with you being really at the forefront, coming in and breaking ground everywhere,
mm-hmm.
in order to do something that, you know, as you describe it, it's almost like every human being could look at something like this for themselves. Just in the way things are treated, the way things are done, it has such a, and not only angelic, but human kindness, and the kind of people in all the different areas that, you know, work together to make this possible. How did you find your way?
How did I get there?
Yeah.
Is that the question?
Well, Jared, do you have a question?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Okay, go back. Now I forgot. You took me off track here.
Okay, sorry about
I'll
that.
I'll be back, Jana.
Okay.
How did you got drawn into this? It'd be interesting to hear how.
Well, it was through a mutual friend, and we had we were at a barbecue, and we met at this barbecue. We just were speaking, and wonderful person, very articulate and very alive, and I received a phone call. We would bump into each other. This was sort of in the cottage area, and I guess it was a few months later. So what are you doing? And I said, well, I've actually just wound down something. And she said, I work at the most incredible place, and I can just feel you there. I can see you there. And I said, really? And she told me all about. And I got really excited. I got excited for many, many reasons, not the least of which is that I've been in alternative healing for years,
mm-hmm.
and have trained, studied, and been part of the woo-woo world.
That's
the only thing I can say. No,
yeah.
Part of the metaphysical, spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been my entire life, and I've always incorporated it into whatever it is that I'm doing. On a corporate level, that is my nickname. I've been called the corporate mystic. And
oh, really?
Yes, I've actually been hired to sit in boardrooms and have had the CEO and the president after the meeting turn around and say, okay, you know, do Deanna Troi, right? For, oh yeah. And then, you know, they'll say it before we start, which really throws people off. If they were in negotiations, they'll say, this is Jana, and for those of you who don't know Star Trek, this is our Deanna Troi, and she will tell us if the Cardassians are lying.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, what I want people to know is that this is one of these areas of life that I've been gifted all my life with the sight, and that it's been one of those bizarre, you know, walking between the two worlds, you know, one foot on solid ground and, you know, your feet on the ground and your head in the stars kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that I can bring all of this together so that I may be of service for the highest purpose. And by recognizing that I have the capacity to smile and laugh and bring joy so that I can express that to donors, and that they couldn't give their money, their hard-earned money, respectfully to something that so deserves. There's nothing more poignant than to watch a family as they are holding their child's hand or wiping their chin or whatever they are doing with them, and you look in their face and see their angst. They let go of their child. So, you know, there's so many things out there where people are asking for help, but the passing of a child, I think, takes...
Yes, I would agree.
Yep.
Definitely agree.
Yep. So I came through the doors of through a friend that recognized a fit, and then a job opening came up, and it's not the job that I'm doing now. I've been there a year, and so it's morphed into quite a bit more, and that's great. I'm there to help, there to be of service, do whatever I need to.
Jana, you mentioned earlier Helen House.
Yes.
Now, is that, I'll let you explain what it is. I'd like to know, and I'm sure other people would.
Yes.
Is it a place that teaches people how to go out and start something like this up, or is there a way that other groups in other cities can fashion such an endeavor?
Yes. Helen House has been going for years. It's a children's palliative care, and we fashioned ourselves after it. As now, do people come to us saying, "Well, you know, you're the benchmark in North America. You're it," and we say, "Well, thank you very much," because we learned what we knew in the beginning from the UK, from Britain. So it is a freestanding children's hospice. Now, there are other hospices that have started, and people will often start them because of the passing of a loved one, and they'll name it after, you know, someone that has passed on. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we have Cherry House that was started just outside of Toronto.
Cherry House.
Yes. Hmm. Don Cherry's wife had passed away.
Oh, right.
Right? And
yes.
That was a hospice. Now, it's not a children's hospice, but there are more and more hospices starting up. And I think this is a wonderful thing. It's a sad commentary on the way things are going, because there's so many dear, sweet people that are deciding to make their transition. There's a lot of people leaving the planet, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And the idea of passing away in a hospital bed is not conducive to the transition, let's put it that way. I'm trying to choose my words here in case I offend anybody, but the truth is that most of us would prefer to be at home or perhaps out of doors, which, you know, if you could be by a...
someplace we love to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So rather than lying in a bed with tubes and things and in a sterile environment, the hospice provides tender, loving care by an incredible group of people that I believe are really doing angel work, and they're the caregivers. And that so more and more people are going to be stepping up to the plate saying, palliative care, caring for someone making their transition, in what way may I be of service?
Mm-hmm.
Then you just go and find out. Get on the internet, check out palliative care, check out what do you need to do, be, or have in order to assist someone making their transition.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect, yeah.
There's always some way. We need volunteers. Every hospice does, because you rely so heavily on donation to keep your doors open. So without the generosity of volunteers, we couldn't possibly do what we do.
And as far as being able to facilitate in terms of costs and what goes into the financing of all of this, it's my understanding that half of the money actually comes from donations.
Yes, we have it all, you know, sort of down to the finite, but we need $5.3 million to keep that place going. We serve 70 meals a day.
And I understand they're really good too.
Oh, they're phenomenal. we have people that will, you know, when we have, my goodness, this food is incredible. Well, of course. we have people that need to be fed, you know, and really good food, you know, not KD stuff, right?
No, it sounded wonderful, you know. I mean, I could see how some people might actually stay just because of the food, you know.
We do get to know each other, but we also try and give our families as much space as possible, just so that people get the idea. This is a very, very large house, but the kitchen area, we all eat together. If you can imagine this, we have one, two, three. We have a huge round dining room table that seats about 14 to 16. Then we have two very large, long tables that will sit anywhere from 8 to 10, you know, and we can squish in there. Now, at lunchtime, you will see doctors, maybe a nurse or two. You'll see the therapist coming and going. You'll see the clinical in and out. Mm-hmm. The children that can be moved out of their room that are in wheelchairs, mm-hmm, will be brought in with their mom, dad, caregiver, and then you've got the staff. So it's quite a mishmash of people.
That's what makes it so unique, you know. I mean,
yeah, we're all eating together,
you get a real sense and feel of that. It's just, that's just so wonderful.
Oh, it's just, and it is. It's just, it makes. There's no doubt about why we're all there. You know, we can have a boardroom meeting happening in the great room, and the next room right beside it is our family room, and you might get some of the teenagers in there. And this is what's so cool at this point, because we've been open for 12 years. Some of our little bubbas have now grown up into teenagers, even though they are incapacitated, mm-hmm, and they will be more debilitated as time marches on,
okay,
and they're on the short end of the stick. In the meantime, they are teenagers. And they get in there, and they'll be playing, you know, like foosball or air hockey from their wheelchairs, and it gets kind of funny because the board, you know, of directors will be meeting or something, and all of a sudden you hear all these hoops and hollers in the room beside them, and of course everybody just bursts out laughing because we're a children's hospital. You know, it's that kind of thing that you...
Wow. Yeah, that's another... that comes to... Another word that comes to mind is emulation.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm really hoping that anyone who's listening and is drawn to this will feel that emulation, that because you can't write this down and say these are the rules of how you do it. I mean, you have that to a certain degree, but but really it's the people, the heart, the generosity, the feeling that life is going on.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the number one things when I've toured people through, and at the end of it, for me, it's always an honor to show them our world and to embrace them and bring them into it. And if they, you know, decide to become donors, then it's just a lovely thank you to us. And you know, I'm a hug person. I hug everybody, and everybody is kind of wow. I said, I don't care who you are, you're going to get a hug.
Yeah.
we had just had a lady, you know, lady. I won't give you her name because mm-hmm. she is known. You know, she has been part of the royal family, but she came through, and oh gosh, she's just an absolute doll, and she's probably in her 70s. And when she left, we were just sort of giggling at the door. I'm a great giggler. Mm. And I said, do you hug? And she looked at me, she says, oh dear girl, yes. <It's> like, I said, oh goody. So we had a big hug, and it was quite funny. Most people would never have done that, but you have to be yourself.
And yeah, really coming through so much right now. You know, forget the other stuff, be yourself.
Yeah.
And that's part of the fear I think a lot of us have, you know, being yourself, because what will others think? And in the end, you know, it's not what others are thinking, it's our own, I suppose.
It's a doubt about, you know, right. You're on the right track there.
Yeah. Just those things, those fears, and it's amazing when you break through them.
Yep.
Or just walk through them.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you, here's one of my favorite phrases. What other people think of me is none of my business.
Good one. Very good.
And here's another one. I've got lots of them. This I'll quote Oscar Wilde. This was a phrase that I felt so impacted when I first read it, and I was probably somewhere in my 20s, but I love calligraphy and whatnot. And when I returned to Canada back in, oh, crikey, I think it was 83, and I've been a designer for years, and I put it on the side of my toolbox, of all things, right? And I'd go out there with my little pretty frilly dresses and a hard hat on, and I'd walk onto a job site, and all these guys would be rolling their eyes going, oh, who's the ditzy broad, right? and I'd walk out with my little toolbox, and on the side of it, in this beautiful calligraphy, it said the following: to love oneself is the beginning of a lifelong romance.
Woo.
Think about that one for a minute. In other words, to thine own self be true. Uh-huh. Love yourself first. You can't do anything more special than that. Love yourself. And it shows.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
It does. You must love yourself.
Well, you know what? I've had my moments where I haven't. And every so often, wonderful gifts show up, and they're reminders of, you know, the divine spark that is in there. And I really, really mean this so sincerely. I want to thank you profoundly for recognizing my spark. It's very timely. I really thank you.
Well, thank you, and in turn, I would like to thank you, because on that day, I knew something was happening, and I think you woke me up to it. You know, oh yeah, that. It can happen anywhere at any time, and
I love this. I think what you're doing is.
Yeah.
admirable. I think it is so important. I think that we need to connect with each other on such a profoundly deep basis. I think that people need to know that there are so many of us, as we say.
Yes, yes.
There are more of us than you can even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And that we've been doing this work a long, long time.
Yeah, we have.
And, you know, sitting in meditation groups, you know, from, you know, my first group of meditation was 1970, you know. And that was, due to all of the stuff that the, you know, the Maharishi and the Beatles were doing and all that type of thing. But then I went back further than that and I realized, no, I think it was way before then.
Yeah.
And you start thinking about your childhood, you'll recognize where you were in your head space and your heart space as a child. And you'll recognize you've always had this propensity towards deeper, more profound thinking.
That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
And recognizing comes up once again. And thank you for the recognition. Thank you for sharing with us and to our listeners yourself and
amazing the, group of people.
Yeah, fantastic. And the work and play. That you do and display and is opening up another way of opening up to the world about who we are and how we need to take care of each other and ourselves.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jenna.
Thank you for this wonderful opportunity.
Thank you, Jenna.
And we will let you know and we will be in touch very shortly. And you've been listening to Jenna Walker as our wonderful guest, and we're blessed to have you here, and we thank you. And to all our listeners, please stay tuned once again, because we always have individuals that bring forward something that's so special, and Jenna Walker is definitely a person who recognizes that.
Thank you, sweetie. Thank you both, and many blessings.
Have a wonderful evening.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye. Now, meeting up with Jenna Walker was truly inspiring. And as you can hear from the telephone conversation that we just had, that she truly is an individual who inspires others. And to find what is the best way we can service ourselves and others. And we will certainly like to have Jenna back at another time. If you would like to reach her, you can always come to dreampath.info. And email us and we'll pass that on to Jenna. Thank you so much for listening. Come back again in 2 weeks from now. That'd be November the 24th, and we'll have a brand new show for you. We'd like to also thank our sponsors, Creo Monday, Allison Prentice, Janet Kinsley, and all the ladies who have worked beautifully in bringing forth a product that we can all wear and allow ourselves to feel at our very best. You can always go to their site at creomonday.com, and I'd like to thank, of course, BBS Radio, bbsradio.com, and you're listening to Dream Path, and we would love to hear you and your comments, and of course, anytime that you would like to hit that donation button, feel free. Once again, have a great day, have a great evening, and have a great afternoon, whether you're listening now or you're listening on the archives. On behalf of myself, Dennis Joseph Gestat, and my co-host, Geraldine Randon, we bid you adieu. May your dreams all come true. And remember to be yourself. Good night.